Thanks, Eileen. Thank you very much.
It's a Radio Show on RTE Radio 1.
Yes, it is. Good afternoon on this Tuesday afternoon. How are you? If you want to contact the programme, 51551 or ray@rte.ie. Muggy. Is that how you describe the weather out there? It's very humid. It's warm. It's grey. It's muggy. That's what it is. Yes. So, 28 down and 4 to go. I'm talking about Ireland Says Thank You. It's tomorrow's show from start to finish from 3 o'clock to 4:30. We're going to have 32 people on from every county in the country saying thank you to the people who got us through the lockdown and the pandemic. So we have 28 counties and they're ready and waiting and practicing on their Zoom technology. And the only counties we don't have, Niamh Hamill and Niamh Haslin, Hayes and Leicester, have been working away. It sounds like a sort of a law firm, doesn't it? Hamill, Hassel and Nestor. Anyway, they've been working away, personing the phones, and they got those 28 people by hook or by crook. That's down westward, isn't it? Anyway, Armagh, Tyrone, Monaghan and Louth. Armagh, Tyrone, Monaghan and Louth. We want somebody from those four counties to join us tomorrow on our All-Ireland Zoom call to say thank you to the frontline workers. So there's mad stuff going on behind the scenes. I'm going to have my laptop in front of me and then we're going to have a huge state-of-the-art big screen over in the corner of the studio. And as we go through the programme, we'll be populating, I think that's the word to use, we'll be populating that screen with the 32 Zoom callers from all over the country. They'll be sitting in their kitchens, they'll be in their back gardens, weather permitting. They'll be in their offices, their spare rooms, their bedrooms, their loos, hopefully not. And they'll all be joining us between 3 and 4:30 to say thank you. And it's because next Monday is a big day, isn't it? It is a big day. The country is opening up. And lest we forget about the people who have helped us in our time of need. Well, the rest of us, we were told to stay at home. They were out there putting themselves in harm's way. And we just want to sort of signpost that and say a big thank you, a big national Zoom thank you. So Armagh, Tyrone, Monaghan and Louth, if you're listening and you want to join us tomorrow on our Zoom call, 1850 715 900, 1850 715 900, and Niamh Hassel and Hamill are up there awaiting your call. Speaking of Zoom, I mentioned this yesterday, Harry Mosley is a man originally from Rathfarnham in Dublin and he is the Chief Information Officer with Zoom. And he is taking a call from us today. Of course, it is a Zoom call. That's happening in about 15 minutes' time. So I'm interested to talk to him about how he got from Rathfarnham to high up in Zoom. And of course, the whole mad story of Zoom. Did you know that in January, 10 million people use Zoom, mainly for work? So they had 10 million participants a day. By April, that was up to 300 million. 300 million participants using Zoom. And it's become a sort of a verb, hasn't it? Google that, I'll Zoom you. And very few companies in the world are known by one word. Apple, Netflix, Google, Amazon, Zoom. And it all happened very quickly for them. So we'll be chatting to him about that. And I'm really looking forward to that. Also today, away from Zoom and on to Bloom, see what I did there, Gerry Daly is in. Gerry Daly, Gardener Supreme, is here on hand to offer advice on the garden. So things will have changed since the last time we spoke to him because there's been a lot of rain. So things will be growing and spouting and all sorts of things, the good stuff and the bad stuff. So if you have any questions for Gerry, get them into us now. 51551 or ray@rte.ie. 51551 or ray@rte.ie. On the thank yous, I don't know if Jackie got the wrong end of the stick about thanking people, but she has a strange thank you here. She sent it into ray@rte.ie. I'm a little embarrassed to admit to watching all but 1 year of Big Brother over the past 20 years. That's a fair record. So you watched 19 of the 20 seasons. Much to the dismay of my husband and family, I loved every minute of every show, from the introductory music to Marcus Bentley's fantastic Northern English voiceovers. We spoke to him last week. The romances, some leading to marriage, to the fights, the fun, the tasks, the dancing, the friendships made and broken. Laughter and tears, evictions and breakouts. The loss of Jay Goody, rest in peace. The contestants who went on to become stars, the ones we never heard of again, Davina McCall and all the other presenters, the prize money, all great TV, super memories, looking forward to the interview with Marcus today. Well, that was sent in last week. How did I get that? Anyway, to all the winners and losers, thank you for the entertainment. That's Jackie. Maybe Jackie heard the wrong promo or maybe the wrong promo went out. But that's who she wants to thank. On television, Can I recommend a couple of things that we watched in our house? Because I know people are running out of things to watch. There's the daftest, most entertaining, most engaging game show on Netflix at the moment. It's called The Floor is Lava. You can't say The Floor is Lava. You have to say The Floor is Lava. And it's teams of three who have to make their way from one side of a room to the other. So the room is, I'm going to use this word again, populated with various things that would be fitting a kitchen, in the kitchen, a bedroom, sitting room or whatever. But it's like a swimming pool, but it's not water. It's sort of slightly more viscous than water, and it's coloured red to to look like lava. So they have to get from A to B, jump on a table, jump on a bed, jump from there to a pedestal and make their way to the other side. And the team that get the most of the three across win in the least amount of time. Anyway, it's daft. That's all it is. That's all it is. But it's, you just sit down and you find yourself, yeah, we'll watch another one. We'll watch another one. And then what they do is, which is very mean, but we all like an epic fail and we all like an epic fall. And they make it completely epic because, so they're trying to get from, a bed to a pedestal, and the pedestal is small and it's slippy and it's 6 feet away and they don't want to land in the lava. So they jump and they think they have their footing, but they don't. And then they slip and they end on their bum or their chin hits off the pedestal. And then what do? The mean producers of The Floor is Lava, they replay it again and again in slow motion, accompanied by classical music. The Floor is Lava. Great. And at the other end of the spectrum is a beautifully shot documentary, which will make you stare on in wonderment at the beauty of the world, firstly, and secondly, at the things that people do. It's called Magnetic, and it's directed by a Frenchman called Thierry Donard, I think. He was a skier himself, but what he's done is he's gone around the world and he's filmed these people doing surfing, windsurfing, skiing, mountain biking, speed flying. He's gone to Nazaré Canyon in Portugal, where they have the biggest waves in the world, and amazing shots there. And then these skiers who go up and they do, I think it's called New Line skiing. So they climb as far up a mountain as they can, and then they come down a route that nobody has ever skied down before. And then these speed flyers, amazing. Like it was shot in New Zealand, which is a beautiful country, and all the scenery is magnificent. And the music in the main is brilliant as well. So it's just, it just washes over you. You can completely immerse yourself in this documentary. And it's not one of those busy sort of adventure sport documentaries. It has all that, but it's something different. It's a treat. It's a real treat. It's called Magnetic. It's on Netflix. But speed flyers, they have those sort of arc-shaped parachutes. And they launch themselves off the side of a mountain, but they never leave. They're never more than 10 feet above the ground. And they go down these little ravines and canyons and go down and they sweep and then they do loop the loops and all sorts of things. And it's just beautifully shot and they're amazing. And they're all young and they're all fit and they're all good looking. They're all saying, this is how I live. I need to do this to be alive. And I'm sitting there as a 55-year-old man. I'm saying, yeah, that's fine. You don't have a mortgage and children to think about and your knees won't last the distance. So come back to me when you're 40. Tell me all that. Anyway, it's amazing. Magnetic. Highly recommend it from here. Now, a couple of things I spotted today. I love these sort of, they're not pseudoscience, they are science, but they're sort of the pop end of the science world. Did you know that we smell in stereo? Ha-ha, caught you there, didn't I? Yes. That each nostril sends a different message to the brain. So we know, we study this in biology, that the eyes, so one eye sees one thing and the other eye sees slightly different. Your brain puts it together and that's how we get 3D vision perspective. But similarly, each nostril, the left nostril takes in a little bit, that sends one message to the brain. The right nostril, something slightly different, ever so slightly different. And that sends a different message to the brain and the brain puts it together and it helps us navigate. Probably left over from our prehistoric evolutionary ancestors. But there you go. You smell in stereo. Love that. That just caught my attention. The other thing is there's a guy, Gregory Brown, and for those people who think that TikTok is just about lip-syncing to mad things that Donald Trump says and various songs, there's also an educational side of it. And there's a guy called Gregory Brown. He's a sort of a science communicator. Yeah, science communicator. That's what you call him. So he asks this question today on his TikTok thingamajig. He says, if I tell you that Wednesday's noon meeting has been moved forward by 2 hours, Do you now think the meeting is at 2 o'clock p.m. or 10 o'clock in the morning? I'll say that to you again. That's Harry Mosley now setting up the Zoom meeting there. If I tell you that Wednesday's noon meeting has been moved forward by 2 hours, do you now think the meeting is at 2 o'clock in the afternoon or 10 o'clock in the morning? So, if you think the meeting's at 2 o'clock, that means you have an ego-moving perspective of time. You see yourself as moving forward through time. I would have said that moving it forward means that's going to be at 10 o'clock in the morning. So what does he say about me and people similar to me? He says, if you think that the meeting is at 10 o'clock, this means you have the time moving perspective of time. You see yourself as stagnant and time moving forwards towards you. So that's thinking. Yeah, we'll stick with smelling and stereo, will we? We will, yeah. There's a couple of emails there that came in overnight. And I'll get to those. 51551, ray@rte.ie. Good afternoon. That be Aretha Franklin and Respect on RTÉ Radio 1. 51551 for your texts. You can send us emails to ray@rte.ie. We're setting up a Zoom call with the Irishman who's near the top of Zoom. And I see him there. How are you doing, Harry? We're going to be talking to Harry after this quick commercial break.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTÉ Radio 1.
Now, let's see how this works. As I've been mentioning, Zoom has become a household brand in the last few months. Zoom meetings, Zoom classes, Zoom quizzes, Zoom cocktail parties, even Zoom fancy dress. And most people, well, not everybody, but a lot of people have been involved in various Zoom things over the last few months. And Zoom has become a verb, which is a big thing. As I mentioned yesterday and earlier on today, an Irishman is one of the leaders of the company. Dubliner Harry Mosley is Zoom's CIO, their chief information officer. And he joins me now via Zoom. Hello, Harry.
Good morning. Good afternoon, Ray. How are you? Nice to meet you.
Good to talk to you. Will you tell me what a chief information officer does, firstly, before we start?
That's a great question. You know, the CIO in most organizations is at the epicenter, so they have a view into what's happening from a product perspective, what's happening from a marketing perspective, a finance and HR. So they're really sort of like this, the engine room of an organization. And, you know, every company is a tech company these days. They either run on tech or they're building tech. And so they are the sort of the glue of the company to keep it running.
Okay. And is it fair to say that what has happened, a bit of a sort of a pattern has developed where elder lemons of the business world have hooked up or coupled up with young startups to give them a bit of stability. Would that be fair enough to say?
Yeah, I think that's true. It's, you know, sort of, you know, people have, you know, great entrepreneurs, great visionaries have ideas. And then, you know, sort of they lean on people who have, quote, been there and done that, experienced people. So to try and avoid making mistakes and get it right the first time.
Yeah. So you've been there and done that in that you were retiring at the end of 2018, were you?
2017, December 2017. Yeah, I decided after 40 years of working for great organizations and great companies and great people and having great teams, I wanted to hang it up and have some fun with the rest of my life. And then Zoom came knocking.
Yeah. And what attracted you to them?
Several things, Ray. The first is the ability to communicate and collaborate locally, nationally and globally was something that every CIO has been trying to do. And what we would do typically is buy a variety of different technologies and glue them together. Eric Yuan, our CEO and founder, had a vision to create a frictionless and seamless environment such that people could actually collaborate on any device, anywhere, at any time. And so that was one. Two was the technology stack that Zoom has been built on, and our architecture is unique and very different to all of the other providers out there. So that was the second one. And three is the culture of the company. I thought this would be a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. And, you know, sort of here we are like almost 2.5 years later, and it's been a hell of a ride and a hell of a lot of fun. And, you know, so just as an example, I said to my wife recently, it's been like 2 years, and she goes, no, it hasn't. It's only been a year.
Yeah. So, yeah. And you mentioned Eric, who is the founder of Zoom. And did I read somewhere that he set it up so that he would spend more time with his family? Was that part of the reasoning?
Yes. So we often refer to Zoom as being a love story. because Eric Yuan, when he was living in China, he used to spend 10 hours on the train to go visit his girlfriend at the time, now his wife. And he said there must be a better way to connect people. So he always had this vision of a better way to connect people. And he's pulled it off. And Eric is now a US citizen and leading a great company.
So how does it differ from, say, Microsoft Teams or FaceTime or Skype or Cisco or all of those other companies who do similar type things?
Yeah, which is a great question. And one of the questions I actually posed to Eric when he reached out to me a little over 2 years ago. So our technology, as I just mentioned, our technology architecture is radically different. The innovation in our platform is radically different. We are constantly innovating at speed and scale. It's a very cost-effective solution, easy to use, and reliable. So basically, when Eric founded the company, he founded it on several principles. He wanted it easy to use, seamless and frictionless. We've nailed that. He wanted great innovation. We've nailed that. And continue to do so. We're not stopping anytime soon on innovation. He wanted reliability. So we operate with four nines of reliability. I mean, here I am doing a live broadcast to you in Dublin, Ireland, from my office here in Westchester County, New York State. You know, yesterday I did a similar sort of event, but was somebody joining from Europe, from Singapore, West Coast. And we do thousands of events, hundreds. We host over 300 million people on our platform every day and have this amazing reliability. But also we want to be secure and we want to be safe.
Yeah, I know there was a couple of headlines about the fact that maybe Zoom wasn't as secure as it should be earlier on in the pandemic. We'll talk about that in a moment. But I'm fascinated to know how, and I mentioned already that in January you had 10 million participants on Zoom a day. And now in April, you had 300 million, 10 million to 300 million. Is that a 3,000% increase? How do you cope with that?
With great engineering, great people. And we've also maintained a lot of capacity on our platform. We always have maintained capacity because we always wanted that great reliability. And also our technology architecture such that, so if you imagine early morning East Coast, New York data center is busy, what does it do? It can reach out to our Denver data center and we can borrow capacity from the Denver data center, or we can borrow capacity from data centers in California so that we stay within the geographical region, but leveraging it. Late in the evening, California might get busy and then it can borrow capacity from New York. We also have the ability to leverage the cloud. We have great partnerships with AWS and Oracle. And so we're leveraging the cloud infrastructure of both those providers too.
So originally set up for business. So what split is it now between business, work and leisure? What do you think?
We don't actually measure the sort of the work versus the personal life, so to speak, the consumer versus the enterprise. I think that, you know, sort of over time, you know, people have, you know, we have the consumerization of technology, if you will. So what's good in your personal life, you want to use in your professional life, and what's good in your professional life, you want to use in your personal life. So there's that blending. Technology sort of level the playing fields, if you will.
Okay. So just what about the headlines we would have read that, you know, people were hacking into Zoom meetings and there were Zoom bombing and all that. Has all that been sorted out, or was it much ado about nothing?
Well, meeting disruptions, as we refer to them, you know, that can happen on any platform. You know, it used to happen when I did old audio conference calls. You'd be on a call with four or five colleagues, and then someone would be a bing, and you'd like, say, who just joined the meeting? And there was no one there. So you'd hang up and you'd send out a new bridge number, and everybody would dial back in. So you know, if somebody shares a meeting ID, you know, on Facebook, then you're going to get a lot of different characters who may join your meeting. Zoom was built for the enterprise. And with enterprise, you get great IT organizations who train people, deploy people, set up the defaults. With the with the use of Zoom growing like it did as a consequence, unfortunately, of the coronavirus, people started just licensing Zoom, using Zoom, but they didn't have the IT organization to set up the default. So we changed things for the default, set up waiting rooms, set up passwords and things of that nature, and changed some of the profile for the EDU sector, for education sector, such that the teacher was in control of the meeting.
Okay. So you were born whereabouts in Ireland?
I was born, I believe, on Hatch Street in Dublin.
Right, okay. Yeah. And you lived...
An appropriate place, I might add.
He was hatched. Harry was hatched on Hatch Street.
And so a funny story about that is, like, my cousin Sonia was born 4 days before me, and also Mosley. And so my father came rushing back when he heard he had a boy. He was a commercial traveler. And he came back into the hospital, and he was told initially that he had a son. And then when he got to the hospital, they told him, no, it's a girl, because they mixed the two of us up.
Right. But they sorted out
They sorted it out in the end.
Yeah. So where'd you go to school, Harry?
So I started at Rathgar National and in Rathgar, obviously. Yes. And then I went to the high school. Then I went to the high school on Harcourt Street. And then when we moved up to Rathgar, I went there. And then I went to Trinity, like you.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah,
you're also a TCD grad.
I am. Yes, we just miss each other. I think I started in 1981. So you finished in what year?
I graduated in 77.
And how long have you left Ireland?
So I left Ireland. I left Ireland in 77. I went to England, and then I was in England for a couple of years, and then I came to New York in 1979 for 6 months, and I've been here now almost 41 years. Hmm. Here's actually. I know it doesn't work very well on radio, but that
no,
was.
Oh, there you go. You've a good head of hair there.
But that's after I got it cut.
So you're. You're from a Jewish family, Harry.
Yes, I am.
And can you remember being sort of different then as growing up in Dublin?
Not really. No. It's like, you know, I've found that the Dublin community, Irish people, are very, you know, sort of accepting of other religions, other, you know, backgrounds, other people. So I never felt threatened in any way. I don't think my family, I don't think the community. Yes, there's always going to be sort of flare-ups, if you will, and there was a couple during my time living in Dublin. But by and large, the Irish people are a happy culture.
Yeah, well, yeah. Maybe there's a bit of rose tinted there. Yeah, well, I suppose we are. We have a positive demeanor in the main, I suppose.
Yeah, it's always a positive outlook. The glass is generally half full rather than half empty.
It is, yeah. Just on Zoom, I'm fascinated by all these tech companies, and I've read a number of books, Zucked and Don't Be Evil and all that sort of thing. And Don't Be Evil is about Google, isn't it? Or was it Amazon or Google? Anyway, their mission statement was Don't Be Evil. So at the beginning, these startups have all the best intentions in the world. And then I suppose profit takes over and the making of more money. And then maybe they leave their original mission statements behind them. So what about Zoom?
So our mission is simple. It's like, we just want people to be happy. That's our tagline. It's like, you know, sort of Zoom, we bring happiness. And it's like, you know, that's a very, you know, it's a very unique culture that Eric has established in the company. And, you know, he often says to, you know, sort of on global calls, look, if people aren't happy and you're not happy to come to work, don't. If you need to take a break, take it.
Lovely, yeah.
So he really wants his employees to be happy and to be enthusiastic about work. And I fundamentally fully align with that thinking, because if you're not happy at work, you're not going to, you know, you're going to do a crap job. It's like, you know, you need to be engaged.
Yeah.
And so if you're not, don't come to work, because you're going to be a distraction to everybody else. And the same is with our clients. We want our clients. We don't think of our clients as clients. We think of our clients as partners. We want our clients to be happy. We want our clients to be successful with our platform, because we fundamentally believe if they are, we will be.
And you know, because we're on, obviously, you're making this call, so it's your account, but like we use Zoom for our daily meetings, and we have a 40-minute limit because we're not a paying account, which suits us, because it's a cut-off point. You know, you don't want no meeting that we do should last more than 40 minutes. But how are you making your money, and how that somebody asked there, how does Zoom make money, Michael Ryan in Templemore? So you have a premium account, don't you?
Well, we have a the basic service, which is free, and then we have the pro service, which is a license. So individuals can license the pro service as on a monthly subscription. And then we do a lot with global enterprise. We have some of the largest global companies in the world, like Walmart and HSBC. So huge, huge corporations across the globe.
And Harry, one of the big debates is about how big tech companies use our information. There's the Cambridge Analytic thing with Facebook and the fact that they're sort of people are selling our information and we're not getting anything back. How does Zoom deal with our information?
Your information is completely private. We never share any information. We never shared any information. We have no plans to share any information. We don't use it for any marketing purposes at all, in any way, shape, or form. That is not the business that
okay,
we're in.
Okay, right.
You know, if you sign up for a free service, then yes, we get the right to sort of share things to you about Zoom, but we will not share that information with any third party under any conditions.
Okay. So
unless they're illegal.
Would you know who I have had on Zoom meetings over the last 3 months?
No.
Okay. All right. Say thanks to Harry from all our family. Gone from seeing each other every few weeks to quizzing games on Wednesdays and karaoke on Saturdays. Big thumbs up. that's from Michael there. In March, we lost all our AA meetings. Within weeks, there were hundreds of meetings all over the world. I sit in Clare drinking tea, listening to AA members share in Australia, America, Galway, everywhere. Thank you, Zoom, says Barry. That's from Barry to Harry. So that must give you, that must make you feel very good about yourself when you, you know, when you know.
Yeah, it's so humbling, Ray, to be at the epicenter of keeping businesses running, keeping governments running, education. We're supporting over 100,000 schools in 25 countries, but also the whole social side, keeping people connected. Like you just read some remarks there, I do cocktails on Friday, with my sister who's in Dublin, her boyfriend, and that's super cool. It's we also host things like Saturday Night Live. We also have hosted Hamilton, which is a theater company, on Zoom. The Queen had her birthday on Zoom. and then you've got the House of Parliament is running on Zoom. So yes. It's quite fascinating to be in the epicenter
of that, of all that.
Of all of that, yeah.
And then, which is the biggest of all, of course, Zoom are helping us to do the big All Ireland Thank You tomorrow, which is hugely important.
I've heard that. So
I think it's the first time it's done. Great. So we're getting a representative from all 32 counties, Harry, and you'll be familiar with the geography of this country because you're from Ireland originally.
Yes.
And we have 28, you'll be delighted to hear. We've 28 counties signed up, and we're looking for Armagh, Tyrone, Monaghan, and Louth. And I think we'll get them before the end of the day. Any tips for us to make sure it runs smoothly?
Just a lot of choreography obviously is involved. I think that's sort of like having the plan and then executing to the plan, and don't change the plan.
Right. Okay. Right.
I think that's sort of the super important. Yeah.
We have some people who may not have used Zoom before. They're sort of new to it, new to the technology.
Might be good to sort of ping them during the day today and just doing a quick 5 minute, make sure they have the right setup, microphone, camera, etc.
And do you recommend headphone use?
I think it's better.
I
find it better. Otherwise it's just sort of like, I think the echo in the room.
And can I ask you, just for our tech people here, you're coming in loudly and clearly. It's a lovely booming voice there. And we've tried through, we would normally have people in studio, but because of the pandemic, we've had more and more people on various devices, WhatsApp calls, Skype, etc. But you sound probably the best of them all. So have you got some sort of high-end technology there?
I'm using Zoom.
You're using Zoom, right? Okay.
So one of the things about the Zoom technology is we have proprietary software for what we call QoS, which is quality of service. So when you're running over a network, there's things called packets, which are data packets that go from one point to the other point, and sometimes those packets can get dropped. if you drop a lot of packets, it's called packet loss, you can have a very bad audio experience.
Okay.
So we always prioritize the audio over the video, and we can handle with our proprietary software 45% packet loss and still have a great experience, because we detect the packet loss and we can smooth that packet loss out. So it's virtually unheard of.
Genius.
Which is why our audio, I mean, people rave about our audio.
Yes. Yeah. And do a lot of radio stations use Zoom?
I mean, I've done a lot of interviews on radio, but I mean, and TV.
Yeah,
I mean, BBC hosted me on TV live, and we did it all over Zoom. Yep.
Yeah. Fascinating. Do you get home often?
Not as much as I did when my mother, you know, died several years ago. So when she was alive, I would try to go to Ireland at least 4 times a year.
Right.
And when I used to travel to Europe on business frequently, I would, you know, sort of stop in, have dinner with my sister, and so sort of land, have dinner, and take off.
Okay. When you answered Eric's...
We were back in February. We had a wonderful vacation, actually, down at Adair Manor, which was a
nice
part of it.
Just before the lockdown. And when you answered Eric's call to join Zoom, was there a share part of that deal? Shares, yeah.
Was there an equity? Yes. But the attraction was, you know, sort of all my friends in the industry said you did it for the equity. I didn't. I did it because of the fun.
Yeah.
I did it because I fundamentally believed that this is a company that I believed that this was a company that was going to change the nature of work for millions of people. And I suppose
post lockdown. And I know some people will continue to work from home, but some people will return to offices. And what are your predictions? Because obviously,
I speak to you know 10 or 12 execs a day, actually, across a variety of industries and a variety of geographies. And you know, sort of my prediction is that two things. One is, employees and employers, right? Employees are happy working from home. They prefer if their kids were back in school, but they actually don't miss the commute and they don't look forward to commuting back into the metropolitan cities. So that's one. Two is, and by the way, they're being highly productive in the work from home model. So employers are happy that their employees are happy, and they're happy that their employees are also being more productive. And the fact is that when people go back to the office, they won't be able to have the same number of people back in the office that they had before Corona because of social distancing. And when you think of over the last 5 to 7 years, most companies have sort of gone through this change in the setup so that they have these big open collaborative spaces. So now they go through a de-densification of the office environment. So they're going to have, they won't be able to accommodate the same number of people. So the what I've heard is between 1/3 and 1/2 of the people will come back to the office, meaning that 2/3 to 1/2 will continue to work on a distributed basis.
Okay.
And employers have learned that they can now be agnostic to geographic region. They can actually hire people wherever the best person is in the world to get the job done.
So this
they
is
don't need to be local.
So this is the globalization of the recruitment of the jobs market, I suppose.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly right. Yep.
Harry, fascinating. Thanks for taking our Zoom call. Somebody says, best interview I've heard in a long time. Love his voice. There he goes. So if you put off your retirement again, there's a place for you on radio, Harry. Okay, there you go.
Good.
Okay.
And we're looking forward to sponsoring the Community Foundation for Ireland this coming Friday.
Yes, I should mention that, because a friend of mine just sent me a text before we went on air. To tell me that Zoom have been very generous towards RTE, does comic relief. And in fact, not only have they stepped up to the plate with finances, they've also provided facilities to do a number of the sketches that will appear on Friday night. Okay, Harry, thanks so much.
Yeah, very good.
Thank you, Ray.
Lovely meeting you. Yeah, you too. Stay healthy. Yep.
You too.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Text 51551. Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Hey, now, from Zoomin' to Bloomin'. See what I did there, Jerry? Jerry Daly joins us in studio, and he's going to be with us every Tuesday till the end of the summer. Each week he's in. I have to remind you about our competition. We're teaming up with Bord Bia for our Grow More competition. We have €5,000 worth of prizes to give away on the 25th of August. You can find out about the competition on growmore.ie. So we're looking for pictures from your garden, and we have five categories: best use of space, most colourful lockdown garden, veggie patch, and garden portrait. And Roisin in Dublin sent us in the work she's done. She's changed her garden with a nautical team, all black and or something, blue and white. And anchors and all that sort of thing. Well done on that, Roisin. You're in contention. Katrina Sheeran sent us a delightful picture of two of her kids, one looking at about probably one and a 2.5 year old, and they're in the splash, the splash pool, and they're having the crack out in the garden. And Kieran Teague is doing up his garden, and he sent us the before. He's going to send us the after later. And Susan Madigan sent us in lovely colours there. Have you got that, Jerry?
Yeah,
there,
yeah,
no.
Yeah, I was looking at it. Yeah.
What flowers are on that? Can you grab that there? I have to throw it on because it's 2 meters away.
It's there's Xanthoriums there, foxgloves, Japanese maple, rose. What else is there? Snapdragon, did I say that?
Lovely colours, lovely colours.
Nice colours, yeah, good and bright.
Yeah. Now, I think we'll go to a caller first, Jerry. How are you? How are you?
How am I?
Yeah.
Oh, great.
Good, good.
Raring to go.
Good. We don't have a caller, so I'll ask you a question here. Will you please ask Jerry about this? The birds will soon try to eat the fruit from soft fruit bushes, blackcurrants and gooseberries. I got a net, but now must get bamboo sticks. It seems, but ground is hard. Any advice? Best package to protect from birds? Fionn O'Grada.
It's best to put something that's semi-permanent up. A fruit cage, they call them, where you put up metal chicken wire, very fine mesh, and you just basically seal it off, and you get 15 years or more out of it until the timber rots. And it's probably the best thing to do. If you're serious about growing fruit and you want to grow fruit without losing some to the birds. Some people don't mind losing a bit to the birds, but it can be annoying when you have the strawberry you've been waiting for a week and the next thing a blackbird has put a big chop in the middle of it.
Yeah, yeah. And you've been watching it go from green to red.
You've been waiting for it to ripen.
Yeah, yeah. You've bought your whipped cream from the local supermarket. And then,
exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
Fruit cage. Now, it's a bit, it's a bit extreme. It'd be nearly the size of the room here, which is, I suppose, 4.5 metres by about 5.5 metres. And that sort of space can give a lot of fruit, and it saves the hassle completely of bird damage.
OK, you put all your bushes into that. Mm. Yeah. Kathleen is there now. How are you doing, Kathleen?
Hi, Ray. How are you?
Whereabouts in the country are you?
I'm in County Clare, East Clare.
Right.
A place called Cahir.
Oh, as opposed to Care. It's Cahir.
Yeah, Cahir.
Right. Say hello to Jerry there.
Hello. Hi, Jerry.
Hello, Kathleen. How are you?
Good, thanks.
What's your question for him?
I have a golden Lelandi hedge. It's about 25 years old. And there in the last so many months, it's gone all, the sections have gone brown, looks quite dead.
Yes.
I'm just wondering if there's any way of recovering it.
Well, there's a couple of things about Leyland.
Before you, what does that look like, Leyland?
Leyland cypress, it's a big, strong hedge. This one is a golden form, a golden leaf form, so it looks yellow. But now there's big patches of brown on it, Kathleen, all over the place.
Yeah, that's right, Jerry.
Yeah, this is very common. There are about three different fungus diseases that cause this problem, and they're fairly well widespread around the country. Now, they do tend to affect older hedges more because older hedges have been clipped right through their life. So you've clipped whatever out of that every year for 30 years. So it's tired and it's weakened by that. If you have a golden Leyland tree growing on its own, it won't be as badly affected by these fungi. But because it's under pressure of the annual clipping, and maybe clipping more than annually, sometimes people clip two or three times a year to keep it neat. Yeah. That really
clip it
tires
once
it
a year,
out.
Yeah.
Now, some people hate Leyland, some people love it. Some people say it's a great bonus that it has got sick. Others would say that this is a great pity. I don't know where I come down. I'm not a great fan of it. But the problem is that it does tend to get brown like this. And as it gets older, it becomes less and less of a hedge, of a good quality hedge. What I'm working around to is you might want to consider replacing it and replanting it with something else.
How do you feel about that, Kathleen?
Well, it's 30 metres long.
Oh, I know, but...
That's a lot of replacing, Jerry.
It is, but the thing is, it'll only get more and more expensive each year as you wait.
Right, so it'll continue to go brown.
It'll continue to go brown. You could let it grow out, and you know, living patches will grow into the brown patches a little bit. But it's basically because it's an old hedge now. It's tired, and it has more or less seen its sell by date.
Are you sorry you rang in now, Kathleen?
Would he come out and grow an alternative for me? Would be a good alternative to grow? We're north facing.
The ordinary common laurel is a very good hedge, and it is a good quick grower as well. So, and the beauty of it is that if it overgrows too big, you can cut it down to the ground, whereas with the cypresses, you can't.
Okay.
How big a job is that for Kathleen, Jerry?
It's not a huge job. You'd get in somebody to do it, obviously, and take the bits and pieces away. And then when you plant a new hedge, you'd be amazed how people forget the old hedge and the new hedge takes over.
Yeah. It's like a new partner.
Would the autumn time be the best time to do that?
I'd probably leave it till the autumn time, because if you do it, you know, in the summertime, you'd have a lot of watering to do over 30 metres of a hedge. You could, of course, put down an irrigation pipe, but, you know, you might be as well to leave it until October.
Mm. Okay.
Okay.
That's probably my option.
You've a lot to think about there, Kathleen.
There's work involved anyway, right?
Yeah, there is. How are you faring during the whole lockdown thing?
Oh, good. I'm working remotely here at home, so...
Yeah.
Which is working very well, actually.
Is it? There you go.
Eamon Keane's accountants in Innes.
Yeah.
So I don't have to drive in and out of Innes only now and again.
Do you think you'd be returning to the office anytime soon?
Well, we go in there once a week.
Yeah.
And keep touch with things. So
okay, right, yeah.
Actually, it works quite well at the moment.
Great. Thanks, Kathleen. Good luck with the hedge,
okay,
the new hedge.
Thank
See you now.
You.
Bye. Teresa was on. Jerry says, my son grew what looks like perfect tomatoes in pots indoors. However, the inside seeded part of the tomatoes are practically black and can't be eaten. What may have caused this? Any suggestions would be appreciated, Teresa.
It sounds like a thing called blossom end rot, which if tomatoes go dry, if the plants go dry, they wilt. And then you water them and they perk up and you think, oh, great, I got away with that. They didn't die because I watered them just in the nick of time. But what has happened is the cellular structure of the tomatoes at the base of the tomato fruit and up into the fruit itself has been damaged. Mm. The cells have broken. And then as time goes on, over the space of a few weeks, a leathery rot develops at the base of the fruit, where the fruit has been necrotic, has died back.
But they look great from the outside. Is that
they look okay from the bottom? They'll be effective from the bottom up.
Okay. So from the top, looking at them, they look
perfect.
They
look okay. Yeah, they look okay.
What can Teresa's son do about them?
Nothing. Just continue growing the plants. Try to keep them without going dry, that they don't wilt. Because even if they wilt for a day, this can be the result.
It kicks in, does it? Yeah.
Yeah, but it doesn't mean that the fruit that is flowers at the moment will not go all the way to fruit.
Okay.
It will.
It will. Okay. That's good news. Catherine's on the line. Hi, Catherine.
Good afternoon, Ray. How are you, Jerry?
Hello.
Whereabouts are you, Catherine?
I'm outside Tume.
All right. And what's your question for Jerry?
About 20 years ago now, I planted two clematis just to form an arch. And they used to have a pink flower in them. But for maybe the last over 5 years, all I get is... It's like a little bud is about to start and it's going to go into flower, but then it goes into seed nearly immediately. I never actually seen a flower for the last 5 years or more.
Yes.
Now, I cut it back and I have fed it well and I tried, you know, different things like that, but no improvement. And the bees love it because they're getting whatever's coming out of this little bud that forms and then goes into seed. They seem to enjoy it.
Yes, it sounds like there's pollen being produced all right, and obviously if you're getting seed heads, there's seed forming. But whether perhaps you had a grafted clematis that was growing on a grafted root that has now taken over is a possibility.
Oh,
and,
okay.
That is a possibility. Now, most clematis are growing on their own roots, but it is possible that they are sometimes grafted as well to speed up the growth, to get very, very vigorous growth.
Okay,
Without seeing the two flowers, very often the flower of a rootstock is smaller and more fertile than the flower of a hybrid that's grown on top of it.
Okay, Why, Garda Center at the time, you know.
Why would it only become obvious now, 20 years on, Gerry?
Because the base may have produced its own suckers.
Right, and they take over.
It's about
3 metres by 3 metres at least, and that's with cutting it back every year.
Yeah, but that sounds like a lot. That sounds like a lot of vigour for an ordinary variety. I suspect that you have a.
And that they have killed the original one.
Yeah, exactly, and especially if you're getting all that seed.
Yeah, piles of seed. Like bees are out there now having a great time on it.
Yeah, well, that's the pollen. They're after pollen at the moment.
So, what do you recommend Catherine should do, Gerry?
Well. If it's just the unsatisfactory flowers you're getting and they're small and they're not great, you might consider replacing it altogether.
Because it is a big green bush really now in heaven.
Well, the other thing is people do like the seed heads. You know, the silky, silvery, tassely seed heads can be very pretty as well. So it's really a matter of choice. If you don't like the look of it, well, yeah, you put up with it for long enough.
Seed heads are only forming on one side, which is the south side.
So it's asymmetrical. It's not.
No. It's not following the sun like it.
Right. Yeah.
No, I think it's time to
get out.
To say goodbye.
You've been very harsh today, Gerry.
I know there's days
poor
like
Kathleen's
that.
Hedge, your 30-meter hedge, and now poor Catherine's clematis creeper. That's the news, Catherine.
And more digging, so no more digging.
Yeah. How are things with you and family?
Oh, grand, great.
Yeah.
Everything fine.
Great.
I was always working from home anyway for the last 15 years. So it hasn't
changed for you.
No, and my daughters aren't getting back to training again this week, so they're delighted.
What football training is there?
Football and camogie.
Oh, great. Yeah. That makes a difference, doesn't it?
It does. Yeah. They're getting out to meet their friends now and
And expend some energy as well. That's important.
Exactly.
Yeah. Have you used Zoom?
No, I've seen my daughters. I have a different thing with our work thing now. We have Microsoft Office, very similar to the Zoom.
Yeah. Okay, good luck with the replacement.
Thank you, Ray.
Thanks, Catherine.
Thank you.
Now, we've time for one more, Gerry, before we let you go. My question is for Gerry. I planted horseradish many years ago in my garden and I'm now attempting to remove it. I'm finding this extremely difficult and last time painted every leaf with Roundup, but it's still coming back. What can you suggest?
Yeah, horseradish is a bit like, it's in the same family as the radishes and mustard and so on. That's why it has the peppery taste, it's the same. It's a strong, tough sort of plant with a deep, what they call tongue root that goes down deep into it. And that's what the horseradish sauce is made out of, is the root, just with a bit of cream. Very nice.
Right, yeah.
But it can be a bit of a divil of a thing and spreads. So I would say it's probably the best thing would be to cover the entire area with black polythene and weigh it down.
So you just kill it because it's not getting
cut it down to ground level. You're denying it light.
Yeah.
No plant can survive without light.
Okay.
So once it's covered over, I would say with the black polythene held down by some weights. Now, it would want to be bigger than the area because they'll come up under the edge of it. And they'll start to push up. And if there are any holes in the polythene, they'll make their way through and so on. But you could try that.
Right. Point us towards your website, Gerry.
Sorry?
Tell us about your website, just the address.
Garden.ie website. Well, there's lots and lots of information about all aspects of gardening there. There's the gardening club where people can discuss their successes and their failures and their aspirations. And the new copy of the Irish Garden magazine is also out, the June, July.
And we'll talk to you next Tuesday.
Excellent.
Gerry, thanks so much. We have a commercial break to take before Noct.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Tweet at Radio Ray RTE. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Niamh Hassel, Niamh Hamill and Hazel Nestor are up to 31 counties. We have 31 counties. We've one county that we don't have a representative for to join us tomorrow as we say thank you to all the frontline workers on our big All-Ireland Zoom call. And that county is Monaghan. So if you're listening in Monaghan and you want to say thank you to somebody who has helped you get through the pandemic and the lockdown, get on to us now, 1850 715 900. That's 1850 715 900. The two Neves are waiting for your call upstairs. Monaghan, come on, Come on, Monaghan. Anishtosh and the free skeleton and Nogta, La Marini Hulawan. Good Marion, thanks very much. 5 on 5 5 on rayatrt.ie. Could you wish our daughter Denise a happy birthday? 50 today. She's in Wicklow. Haven't seen her in a long time now. That's Evelyn and Oliver Courtney. And they say happy birthday to you, Denise. I hope you have a brilliant birthday. It's a big one, isn't it? Half a century. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, roll up for the All-Ireland quiz. We're into round two, and today, Cavan takes on Kilkenny. And stepping up to the plate and flying the flag for Cavan is Patricia McMahon. How are you doing, Patricia? Hello, Patricia.
Hello.
Good to talk to you again.
Hello, how are you?
Come in, Farta.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. You're coming in loudly and clearly. We'd great fun with your place name the last time, and we got a number of texts after you left us to tell us that Farta means a place of graves. Did you know that?
I didn't know that.
So now you know. Now you know.
Now I know.
So you're up there on the Meath-Cavan border and you're a publican. So what's the plan for next Monday? Are you going to reopen?
We're going to open on Monday, yes.
Yes. And food?
Food, yeah. Oh, it's just food, yeah.
Oh, just food, no drink?
But if you're having food, you can have a drink, but...
Aha. Right. So you're changing the emphasis.
Well, we've always been more of a food.
Right, so you're just continuing as is.
Yeah,
great. And how do you feel about it, Patricia? Are you worried?
A bit nervous, to be honest. Yeah, because it's a whole new thing, isn't it? None of us have any experience of this.
Exactly.
Before,
so. Yeah. And I heard a number of people. I heard a number of people wondering whether people will be comfortable to go out.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
You don't know if people will be comfortable or not.
Hmm.
We'll just wait and see.
Yeah. So have you seen your grandchildren or what's the story?
I have seen four of them last week, week before last.
Great.
And I have five grandchildren in the UK. I haven't seen them since February.
Right.
End of January, February.
So that'll be emotional. And you're keeping the hubby Edward occupied with odd jobs around the house.
Oh, he's a great housekeeper.
keep him busy.
Yeah, he is.
What's the thing about idle hands and all that? Okay, you're up against Rose Hetherington, who's representing Kilkenny. How are you doing, Rose?
Hi, Ray.
Good. Say hello to Patricia there.
Hi, Patricia.
Hello, Rose.
Hi. How are you?
So, did you celebrate your birthday since we last spoke?
Me?
Yeah, you.
No, I had celebrated before
you
told the whole country.
Sorry about that. Well, tell them again. Rose recently turned 40. There you go.
Thanks, Ray. I'm waiting for the present in the post.
You might get a mug if you lose. So it's a big day tomorrow in your house. Tell us why.
Oh, well, it's not really a big day tomorrow in my house. We're going to visit Nanny.
Right. For the first time in
how long? Months, I'd say. Possibly Christmas, maybe.
Right.
She's not that far away, but between school and everything, we haven't been down before the lockdown, and then we definitely haven't been down since the lockdown. So
yeah.
We have two very excited small people here to see Nanny and the cousins.
That'll be very exciting, won't it? Yeah. And emotional as well.
Yeah, they're delighted. Yeah. In real life. They want to see Nanny in real life.
That's brilliant. Because they've seen her on Zoom and FaceTime and all that. They want to see her in real life.
Want to see Nanny in real life, yeah.
Well, there's a lot of returning to real life next Monday, isn't there? And then we're all looking forward to that.
Hopefully so.
Okay, and you picked a song, Patricia, and to get you going, and this is it. Queen. So that's Patricia's message, Rose. Don't stop her now.
Good one, Patricia.
And your message. I'm losing you. I would need. That's a song I'd forgotten about. I'm probably doing my best to forget it. That's Blue by Eiffel. Why, oh why?
Because I picked it for my little girl, Ellen. She's obsessed with Sonic the Hedgehog, so she loves that song.
That's his sort of theme tune. That's his theme tune. Okay,
yeah.
Hopefully you're suitably motivated. Patricia representing Cavan and Rose representing Kilkenny. And as you know, we need the answers as quick as possible and no Googling. Let's get the attention going. Good luck to you both. Okay, Patricia, your first question is this. Bratislava is the capital city of which of these countries? Slovakia or Slovenia?
What's the two countries?
Slovakia or Slovenia? Bratislava. Need an answer from you.
Slovenia.
It's Slovakia. Okay, early days. Right, similar question for you, Rose. Minsk is the capital city of which of these countries? Belarus or Bosnia and Herzegovina?
Belarus.
Is the correct answer. Okay. Patricia, your second question is an audio question. I want to know the name of this movie, please.
Now then, the qualifications. Item one, a cheery disposition. I am never cross. Item two, rosy cheeks. Item three, play games all sorts.
This paper, where did you get it from? I thought I'd toy it up.
You are George Banks, are you not? And you did advertise for a nanny, did you not?
Well,
Mary Poppins.
It is Julie Andrews, Mary Poppins from 1964. 55 years old, or nearly 56. Well done on that. And for you, Rose, can we have the name of this movie?
What is your name?
My name is for my friends.
None of my friends is a murderer.
You are angry, English.
So long as the Arabs fight tribe against tribe, so long will they be a little people, a silly people. Greedy, barbarous, and cruel.
Well?
I have no idea.
It's a bit before your time.
Darby O'Gill and the Little People.
No, it's not Darby O'Gill and the Little People.
Please, said Little People.
it's Lawrence of Arabia from 1962. Okay, so you're even, one
very
each. Question number three, Patricia, is this. In Roman numerals, what number is represented by the letter L? L. In Roman numerals.
Don't know. 100.
No. Say again.
100.
It's 50. Okay. And for you, Rose, in Roman numerals, what number is represented by the letter M? M for mother.
Is it 100?
No, it's 1,000. Okay, so you're still okay. Even, one all. Another audio question for you, Patricia, in Cavan. Can you name this act, please? So wake me up when it's all over. When I'm wiser and I'm older. All this time I was finding myself and I didn't know I was lost. Who's that?
I don't know.
Avicii. Okay. And for you, Rose, who is this? I belong with you. You belong with me, my sweetheart. I belong with you. You belong with me, my sweetheart. Well?
Is it the Lumineers?
It is the Lumineers. Right. Now, Patricia, you know the rules. You're on one. Rose is on two. It's not a high-scoring tie this time. If you go for the one-pointer, you're the same as Rose, but she has a question in hand. If you go for the three-pointer, you're up to four, which will push Rose to go for the three-pointer as well, which, as we know, is a more difficult question. So what's it going to be?
Three.
Okay, here it is for 3 points. Good luck with this. If you get it wrong, Rose is through to the quarterfinals. Here it is. Which of these counties won a senior All-Ireland in football first? Okay, which of these counties won a senior All-Ireland in football first? Roscommon, Tyrone, Donegal or Armagh?
Roscommon.
You're saying Roscommon?
Yeah.
Well, let's see. Tyrone won it first in 2003, Armagh in 2002, first Donegal 1992. And you're right, Roscommon won away back in 1943, so that's the answer we were looking for. 3 points for that. Brings you up to four. Rose, Hetherington and Kilkenny, you're under pressure now because you have to go for the three-pointer.
Yep, go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead for 3 points and to get you and Kilkenny through to the quarterfinals. If not, it's Patricia from Cavan who's going through. Here it is. Good luck. Which of these counties won a senior All-Ireland in hurling first? Galway, Wexford, Offaly or Clare? So which of those counties won a senior All-Ireland in hurling first? Galway, Wexford, Offaly or Clare? For 3 points. I need an answer from you.
Oh, God. Not Wexford and probably not Offaly. Clare, randomly.
So Offaly won it in 1981, Galway 1923, Clare 1914. Oh. The answer was Wexford 1910.
Oh, OK.
So there you go. So...
Okay. Patricia, well done.
Yeah, well done, Patricia.
Thank you. Well done, Patricia.
Rose, we're going to send you out a Radar Show mug. It's on its way down to Kilkenny. Enjoy meeting up with the mum tomorrow, and hopefully the kids enjoy it too. And stay safe. Okay, Rose.
Thank you very much.
Bye.
Well done.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye. Bye-bye.
Patricia, you're through to the quarterfinals of the All-Ireland Quiz.
Thank you.
Yes, it all counts, flukes or not flukes.
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll talk to you in a couple of weeks' time, Patricia.
Okay,
mind Thank yourself. You. See you. Bye. Bye.
Thank
bye.
You. Bye.
Bye. Bye. Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, they're telling me that Wicklow has pulled out. it's changing by the minute. So we're looking for people from Wicklow and Monaghan. So we've 30 counties now to take part in our All-Ireland Zoom tomorrow, where we're going to thank everybody who got us through the lockdown. Ireland says thank you. So if you're from Wicklow or you're from Monaghan and you want to join us tomorrow for our big Zoom call, 1850 715 900. That's 1850 715 900. And the two Neves are awaiting your call upstairs. Now, yeah, you've heard me mention it for a long time now, but it's very close. This Friday night, RTE does Comic Relief. So each day this week, we're talking to somebody who's involved. Yesterday was Baz Ashmawe. Today it's Neil Delamere. How are you doing, Neil?
Good, how are you?
So you're going to be the voice of RTE1 for the evening.
Well, yeah, apparently I'm doing continuity on the announcements on Friday. So, but like, I have no idea what's going to happen on Friday. So, I mean, the announcement from, say, the Angelus into the news is going to be fairly straightforward, because you can't be all la 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 jokey and then the news is serious.
Yeah.
So, as we get towards it a bit more, we'll have a bit more crack. And I've seen some of the stuff that's in the show, and I think it's spectacular. I've seen the normal people thing.
Right.
And if that doesn't go viral, I don't understand anything about the world. It's going to be massive. Now, I saw it. Nobody sent it to me. It was like something like from the CIA. It was somebody showed me a tablet, especially encoded.
Okay.
I wasn't sent it because for fear it would leak, you know.
So it's mainly sketches, is it?
It's kind of sketches, and I suppose if you look at the Comic Relief in the UK, it's sketches, and sometimes it's kind of resurrecting things that have gone away. So there's a panel sketch in it, and obviously we haven't done a panel in however many years, 9 or 10 years, with a different kind of slant on it, and it's putting different people together that weren't necessarily there before. So
okay,
that's generally what it is, because people love that sort of kind of nostalgia of shows that they used to like. And then the whole thing, I think, about watching Comic Relief either in Ireland or the UK will be that waiting for the cameo, waiting for the Alfred Hitchcock moment. Oh, I can't believe they got him to do that.
Yes.
So there's
a
lot of that in it, I think.
Yes, yeah. We have a couple of surprises on the Den. You know, there's a Den reunion.
Yes, I've seen the ad. You made the ad.
Did I?
No. Well, you got into the ad.
Oh, I made the ad. Sorry. As I made the cut, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, you made the cut. Right. You played rugby as a child. How did they announce to you that you're on the team? You've made the team. Oh, I've made the team. No, you've made it on the team. I don't understand what you're saying. No, you are on the ad. What are the surprises on the Den then?
Well, I can't tell you because there won't be surprises there.
You're such a tease.
Yeah, but they're big. They're big.
Really?
Yeah, they're big. Yes, they're big.
Okay.
But they'll be appearing in a sort of a Den context, if you like.
Right, okay.
So we'd be sort of bringing people back to their childhood.
Well, you see, that's the thing. You hold a very special place in people's hearts and zig and zag.
Well, zig and zag do.
They
I'm
will
just,
see that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they're very much a warm, fuzzy feeling in people's hearts, and you're kind of a closing of an artery. But no, I do think people will look back at that and feel good. I watched it, so.
Well,
I think
plan is just to sit there and laugh for 15 minutes.
That's
what I did before, and it worked well.
So have you not done it yet?
No, it's live.
Oh, so,
well, we're going live.
Oh, live.
Live.
What
live,
a professional.
Yeah. Live.
Have you learned nothing? You've met Zig and Zag before, right? Haven't you?
Yeah. No, and Dustin, more importantly.
I think it is going to be really good. And I think people are going to throw money at it as well. I know there's... Well, listen, Ireland is a very generous country per head of capita, as Bob Geldof has shown down throughout the years, and the Irish people have shown down throughout the years. There's already thousands have come in for the Westlife Prize, which is an amazing prize that they'll turn up and do your... Yeah. I really hope it's a hen party. I really hope it's a hen party.
They're available for anything.
Pretty much.
Yeah, a 21st, a wedding, a christening.
Yeah. What would you do with them?
What would you do at Westlife if you won them? Yeah, that's a very good question. Yeah, yeah. You should have asked me earlier on. I would have prepared something.
There was a real weird moment where you looked into the distance and got almost wistful, as if you had done something with them before and remembered an earlier time.
Okay, well, I'll be honest. Like, they appeared in the National Basketball Arena in their first incarnation.
Really?
And I was the presenter.
Really?
So the two guys from, you know, they were called Westside or something,
and then
Westlife, yeah. So I have appeared with them before at that thing. I think there's about 20 people in the, and you know the National Basketball Arena, it's a very big place, so 20 people, it looked a bit empty. And now they can fill Crow Park.
Like a Trump rally. Weave.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of good stuff in that. Yeah. And so, I think it's kind of...
Are you doing it live? Are you doing your
No,
things?
We have done it.
Oh,
we
you've
have
done it, yeah. But have you done your links and everything?
No, I haven't done the links, no. Okay. So they won't be live either. We've done the kind of Zoom panel, everybody getting together. That was so strange. All of us, Dara and me and Colin and Maxwell and Maria and all the people kind of, I suppose, would associate with it. But sometimes people forget that the first time on TV for a lot of people was on the panel. So John Bishop, the first time he was on TV, was the panel on The Blame Game, I think, and Adam Hills was on it, and Phil Jupiter's hosted it and stuff. And some of these people are coming back and doing little bits and pieces as well. And it's also quite stylistic in terms of it is taking a mickey out of another sort of current TV show, shall we say.
Okay, right, there you go. You'll have to tune in for that. So it starts at 8 o'clock and it's going right through till it probably won't finish till after midnight. They're officially supposed to end at 10 past 11, but it'll go on, I'd imagine. How has the whole lockdown been for you?
I suppose ups and downs really, isn't it? It's a bit weird. I got a dog just before lockdown. So, I mean, he keeps you sane because he has to be walked and he doesn't care about what's going on and he gives you the same love and affection no matter what happens. And he is a considerably different dog than the dog I had before. I had a lovely kind of greyhound who was very refined and pranced around the place and didn't like the rain. And I have this kind of, have a harrier hound now, which is a cross between a beagle and a terrorist of some sort. He had to get the operation and he had to get the cone around him as well. Oh, yeah. So he was walking around. He looked like he was in, you know, The Handmaid's Tale. He looked exactly like all the characters in The Handmaid's Tale, which is ironic because
it's very demeaning for a dog to have that cone.
I know.
I think they call it the cone of shame.
And he doesn't know what's going on. And he's never had it before. And he doesn't bark. And then he barked at a fox and it amplified it and it scared the hell out of him. And he molts as well. He's this lovely white dog and he molts.
Yeah.
And obviously there's so much hair in it. If he shakes it, it's like a little snow globe. It's an amazing moment. But he's kind of kept me sane. He's drinking from the toilet bowl, which is really annoying me though. Even if I leave water out in a bowl for him, which I do all the time, he gets up off his bed, ignores the liquid you've left out for him and then goes, I prefer the cistern water, and goes over and it's rotten.
Disgusting.
Yeah, it is disgusting. Yeah, yeah. But he's keeping me kind of sane because it is bonkers. It's bonkers for everybody, you know?
Mm.
And suddenly a packed calendar then just becomes this empty.
Because were you in the middle of a tour when it...
Yeah, I was,
in?
Yeah. Yeah, I had kind of, I'd done maybe 35 dates of maybe 50. And you know, you're listening, I'm going to do a date tomorrow night, and then obviously the word comes through from the government in the UK and the government in Ireland and says you can't do X, Y, and Z, and then you know that's it. Yeah. And I was very naive at the start. You go, okay, well, if we can't do this big gig in March, I'll rebook it for May.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, when was that going to happen? And we've had a TV show cancelled as well, so we're trying to figure out what we're going to do with that. Like, we do a show in the north and that's going to be on probably in the autumn, so we're just looking at what way you do that. I mean, like, if you look
are you
at,
worried?
Am I worried that the career that I've chosen to do no longer exists, Ray? I mean,
you said that, I didn't say it, but
well, cognizant of the fact that an awful lot of people have had much more serious time than me.
What did you do before stand-up?
I was a software engineer.
Oh, yeah.
But the good thing is that I've been so long out of software engineering, nothing has changed in the time. You know, I've done it 20 years ago. I think all my skills are bang up to date. I'm pretty sure I can knock out the old Amstrad Commodore 64 and get right back into Donkey Kong or whatever with the last thing I was. No, I mean, I have no transferable skills whatsoever. So we better hope that vaccine is discovered fairly shortly, Ray. Otherwise, I'll be just ringing around to you. Do you want any odd jobs done?
What about, you know, because, you know, and it's worrying for musicians, actors, comedians, and yet they're given all this time at home, and I suppose there's pressure on you to be creative and, you know, to write a show or write a sitcom or write a book or...
Yeah, well,
do
I
feel
that
pressure?
So the first week, I just watched a lot of heist films. I love heist films and I love Prison Break films, and I don't know why. My wife said to me, I think it's because you like the planning involved. I was like, there's a lot of planning in a wedding. I don't think I want to watch Ocean's 11. If Ocean's 11 was about who sits beside who at the top table, I don't think I'd watch it. So the first couple of weeks for me, just kind of relaxing into it and going, okay, this is enforced time. And then after that, I did feel that pressure of you should be writing your next show, you should be doing this, that and the other. And then about 11 or 12 days in, I read this article about, you know, people were saying that Isaac Newton wrote all his best work when he was in quarantine for the plague.
Didn't know that.
And a lot of people going, oh, this is what he did. And then I read this article that said, well, no, he was working on this well before that and well after it. And also, note to self, you're not Isaac Newton, one of the great geniuses of your age. That kind of took the pressure off, I'll be honest with you then. So then I started watching everything on Netflix. But the overall things, I'm lucky in that I've toured for a long time and every year for a long time, and I can take a bit of time off, you know. I would worry about the wider industry. I'd worry about people who are gigging in clubs and don't have the kind of maybe the latitude that we would have. Yeah. And the good news is that I've been talking to some of the theatres and they have said, because one of the big questions is, if you opened up tomorrow, would people go? And from their internal kind of research, they've polled their listeners and their, well, not their listeners, their patrons, I suppose, their punters, and they have said yes, they would go. So that's kind of hopeful, you know?
Yeah. And were you tempted to do a Zoom gig?
I was not tempted to do a Zoom gig. I've been asked to do a few. I've done a few kind of BBC Radio 4 and 5 Live for the BBC panel shows and stuff like that. I don't think I'd be tempted to do a Zoom gig. The other thing is, the ones that are going around are the driving gigs people are talking about.
Yes.
But the idea of being heckled by someone beeping their horn is the thing that would, you know, you just get to a punchline. I don't know if I can.
You can't hear the laughter.
Except that.
You can't hear the laughter.
There'll be no change there for some of the things I've done recently. No, I wouldn't be tempted to do a Zoom gig yet. But as you say, you know, if we get to August or September and there's no viable alternative, who knows what could happen. But I hope we're all... I hope we get back to where we were and, you know, there's some light at the end of the tunnel at the moment.
And the other side, of course, will everybody be cracking, you know...
Yeah, what do you talk about?
Yes, yeah.
That's the other thing, yeah.
Because even in normal conversation, we've got loads of texts over the time going, you know, I've nothing to talk about anymore because nothing's happening. You know?
Yeah, well, if you're an anecdotal comedian... Okay, so you're either an anecdotal comedian, you haven't done anything.
Yes.
Or you're a topical comedian and you can't talk about the thing that everybody's scared about.
Yeah.
So... expect a lot of surrealism. Neil Delamere does a new clowning phase, just an hour and a half of mime, maybe. I don't know what we'll talk about. I do know that...
I'd watch that for 5 minutes, Neil.
that's 4.5 minutes longer than I thought you'd watch it for, Ray, I'll be honest with you. I think people, as long as it's safe, I think people will be willing to go back out, and I think there will be a bigger release. But we got this about Brexit to a certain extent as well. There are ways to talk about anything.
Yes, there
as long
are. Yes,
as long
there
as,
are,
as, long
yes,
as it's
there
in
are,
context,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah. So Neil is doing the continuity on Friday night and he's also featured on the panel sketch. RTE does Comic Relief from 8 o'clock this coming Friday. Neil, mind yourself, stay safe
you
and enjoy
too.
Friday night. That's it from us. Mary Wilson is on the way. We are back tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday evening.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.